Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Aleph, and we are 9 lines from the top of Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, Amale Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua L'Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refuah Shalema. The Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Dvorah, Dvorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama, Miriam bas Sara Dina, Menachem Mendel ben Yehudis Chaya, Avram Menachem ben Leia Edel, Yaakov ben Gittel, and Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol L'chaim, Toivim Ramosha Chaim. So today's daf is, in many ways, a continuation of yesterday's daf. In fact, it's going to tie some of the loose ends that we left off with yesterday. So the daf begins with something that was mentioned b'derech agav on daf nun amar aleph. The Gemara brought up Raisa, a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rab Meir and Rab Yaakov, when a carbon is doicha Shabbos and Tumma, and when a carbon is not doicha Shabbos and Tumma. So we know that carbonos involved chilul Shabbos, stating that it was okay to bring a carbon on Shabbos. However, not always. So sometimes a carbon was doicha Shabbos, sometimes it was not. Additionally, ordinarily, you're not allowed to bring a carbon in a state of Tumma. So if someone's Tameh, he can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. He certainly can't do the Avodah. But there were times that you were allowed to bring a carbon in a state of Tumah. Tumah Hotcher Betzibur, Tumah Tchoyah Betzibur. And the Tanaim discussed in a more granular sense, when is it that a carbon is Doicha Shabbos and Tumah? And when is it that a carbon is not Doicha Shabbos and Tumah? And the Tanakam has said, very simple, a carbon Tzibur is Doicha Shabbos and Doicha Tumah. A carbon Yochid is not Doicha Shabbos and is not Doicha Tumah. And the Gemara brought that Rav Meir asked kashas on the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yaakov asked kashas on the Tanakama. Rabbi Meir told the Tanakama, is that true? A carbon yachid is never doicha Shabbos and is never doicha tumo. I'll give you a few examples of carbonos yachid that are doicha Shabbos and tumo. The par that the Kohen Gadol used to bring on Yom Kippur, the minchas chavitin that the Kohen Gadol used to bring every day, a carbon Pesach. These are all examples of a carbon yachid that the doicha Shabbos and doicha tumo. Rabbi Yaakov asked a similar question, but he came from the other angle. Is that true? Every single carbon Tzibur is doicha Shabbos and is doicha tumah. The par helim davish al tzibur. The seirei avoides kechavim. The carbon chagiga. These are all examples of karbonos tzibur. Yet they're not doicha Shabbos and they're not doicha tumah. So Reb Meir and Reb Yaakov asked different questions on the Tanakama, but atzad hashavish shebehen is that they prove that the rule of the Tanakama is incorrect. It's not true that a carbon tzibur is always doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah, and it's not true that a carbon yachid is never doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah. So what then is the rule? So says the Gemara. They said, quote, this is what you should remember. Any carbon that's zmanei kavua, that's brought at a specific time, like a mitzvah, even if it's a carbon yachid. And anytime you have a carbon that's not zmanei kavua, it won't be doicha Shabbos and tumah, even if it's a carbon zibur. And the Rambam in his Yad Chazaki in two places, in Hilchas Tmidim and Musafin, and in Hilchas Bias HaMikdash Pas, not like the Tanakama, but like Rav Meir and Rav Yaakov. So lehalacha, when is a carbon doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah? When is it not doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah? It depends. If this carbon is zmanoi kavua, then even if it's a carbon yachid, like the carbon Pesach, the halacha is it's going to be doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah. If the carbon is not zmanoi kavua, it's not related to a day on the calendar. It's not related to zman. Even if it's a carbon tzibur, such as the par helim davar shel tzibur, the halacha is it won't be doicha Shabbos and it won't be doicha tumah. But the Gemara is going to begin and just make one comment on this entire exchange. And that is, Rav Meir, when he was firing away at the Shinta of the Tanakama, said, is it true that a carbon yachid is never doicha Shabbos and never doicha tumah? The carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid and it's doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah. Well, we learned Mesachtes Pesachim, we learned the sugis of tumah tribetzibur, tumah tchoyah betzibur. We learned the sugis of the Pesach being doicha Shabbos. What about the Machshirei Pesach? Machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. It's all because the carbon Pesach is doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah. And Rav Meir said the carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid. So you see, even a carbon yachid can be doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah. When Rabbi Yaakov asked on the Tana Kamma and said, is that true that a carbon tzibur is always Deicha Shabbos and Deicha Toma? I'll give you an example of a carbon tzibur that's not Deicha Shabbos and Toma. The carbon chagiga. The carbon chagiga was a carbon that every yid had a responsibility to bring shalosh pamim bashana when he was oil ragel. So when a yid was oil ragel, he didn't just go to the koisel, he'd go to the Beis HaMikdash, and he had to bring karbonas. He had to bring an oil, known as the oil asriya. He had to bring a carbon shlomim, known as the shalmi chagiga. He also had a mitzvah of simcha, which required sometimes another carbon, the shalmi simcha. But regardless, there was a carbon chagiga that was brought. And Rabbi Yaakov said the carbon chagiga is a carbon tzibur. Yet the halach is, it's not the Deicha Shabbos and the Deicha Tumah. So the Gemara says, isn't it interesting? Rabbi Meir held that the carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid. Rabbi Yaakov held that the carbon chagiga is a carbon tzibur. Now, one Tana presented this entire exchange. It sounds like this one Tana was masking to everything Rabbi Meir said and was masking to everything Rabbi Yaakov said. As if to say there's a Tana in the world that holds that the carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid and the carbon chagiga is a carbon tzibur. And just to speak out to Kasha Oisaveinig, what's the difference between the carbon Pesach and the carbon Chagiga? And the truth is, we can clear. Is the carbon Pesach a carbon Yachid or carbon Tzibur? Is the carbon Chagiga a carbon Yachid, carbon Tzibur? A carbon Tzibur is traditionally thought of as a carbon, one animal, that the entire Tzibur has a shutfis in through the Machzis HaShekel. But every single Yid has a chelek in this carbon. The carbon Pesach wasn't one carbon. Celebes Avos. Every family, every chabura had its own carbon. The carbon Chagiga, the same thing. It wasn't one carbon. Every individual brought his own carbon. So from that standpoint, you would think it's a carbon yachid. But then again, everyone's doing it. It's being done in mass. So based on that, you could argue it's a carbon tzibur. But here's the point. If you want to take the position that the carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid, beseder. But then the carbon Chagiga should also be a carbon yachid. And if you want to take the position that the carbon Pesach is a carbon tzibur, I hear. But then the carbon Chagiga should also be. But memanavshach, what's pshat that the carbon Pesach on Daf Nun Amud Aleph was viewed as being a carbon yachid, and the carbon Chagiga was viewed on Daf Nun Amud Aleph as being a carbon tzibur? That is the first line in today's daf. Amale Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Le Rava. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua asked Rava. V'tano. V'tano on Daf Nun Amud Aleph that presented this braisa. Rav Meir's kasha on the Tanakam. Rav Yaakov's cash on the Tanakam and Maishna Pesach, the garlic carbon yachid, Maishna Chagiga, the garlic carbon tzibur. Why is it that he assumed that the carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid and the carbon Chagiga is a carbon tzibur? And he said, Imishum the Asi Beknufya, if the reason the carbon Chagiga he viewed as being a carbon tzibur is because it's Asi Beknufya, it's brought during the Shalosh Regalim, it's brought when all the Yidden are together, Pesach Nami Asi Beknufya, the carbon Pesach is also Asi Beknufya. In other words, Memanavshach, what's the difference between the carbon Pesach that is viewed as being a carbon yachid and the carbon chagiga that's viewed as a carbon tzibur? So the Gemara answers, Ika Pesach Sheni D'lo Yosef Iknofim. So Rava told Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua that when Rav Meir and Amud Aleph asked from carbon Pesach that carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid and yet you see it's Deicha Shabbos, Deicha Tumah, he wasn't referring to the carbon Pesach. The carbon Pesach that was brought on Yudal and Nisan, that was brought by Knufio when the Yidden were Oile Regel, that is Taka carbon Tzibur. That's not what he meant to ask from. What he was asking from was from Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is also Deicha Shabbos and also Deicha Tumah. Pesach Sheni was brought Yudal and Iyar. It was not by Knufio. You didn't have all the Yidden being Oile Regel when Pesach Sheni was brought. Still, you see, it's Deicha Shabbos and Tumah, and that was his cash. He never meant to ask from the carbon Pesach because that carbon is like the Chagiga. Being that it's Asi Beknufya, it has a din of a carbon tzibur. He always meant to ask from the Pesach Sheni. Amalei, so Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua told Rav, Imkain, if that's the case, he Deichas HaShabbos Vesatoma. So in other words, you're saying that Rav Meir is of the opinion that the Pesach Sheni is Deichas HaShabbos and Deichas Tumah, because that was essentially what he said. He said, carbon Pesach is a carbon yachid, he sees Deichas HaShabbos and Tumah, not like your rule, Tanakamu, that a carbon yachid is never Deichas HaShabbos and Deichas Tumah. So Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua asked Rav, is that really what you hold? Amalei, yeah, that's what I hold. Yeah, and a chanami, it's okay. Rav Meir holds, like the man Dama that holds that Pesach Sheni is Deicha Shabbos and Deicha Tumah. Tanya learned in a braisa, meaning what's the makar to this Shiloh, whether it is Deicha Shabbos and Tumah, it's not Deicha Shabbos and Tumah. Pesach Sheni Deicha Shabbos, Veni Deicha Tumah. Tanya come in this braisa says, Pesach Sheni is Deicha Shabbos, not Deicha Tumah. Rav Yudah said, Av Deicha Tumah. No, it's Deicha Tumah as well. My time at the Tanya come. Why does the Tanya come hold that Pesach Sheni is not Deicha Tumah? Amalachot, Tanya come is going to tell you, Mipnei Tumah Dochisu, the Yasa Tumah. Why does somebody bring the Pesach Sheni? So one of the reasons is if he was Tameh during Pesach Rishon. So he gets pushed off the Pesach Sheni. So the whole idea of Pesach Sheni is to give you an ability to bring the Korban Pesach B'Tahira. So you're going to bring it now B'Toma? It doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yehuda Amalecha, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, no, what do you mean? Amakra, the pastor says, K'chol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oysa. That the Pesach Sheni's laws mirror the laws of the Pesach Rishon. K'chol Chukas HaPesach. Everything. Hakol Rabbis. Meaning, Vafilu B'Toma. Even in Toma. Ah, you'll ask me a question. You bring in the Pesach Sheni B'Toma. I thought the whole idea of Pesach Sheni was to make up for the person that is Tomei. We don't want him to bring a B'Toma. So as a result, we're giving you an option to bring a B'Tahira. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I hear, but very simple. HaTorah Hechzira all of L'Asoyse B'Tahira. Meaning the Torah gave him a plan B. Well, it's Zachar. If it didn't work, yes, and a B'Toma. Meaning you're right. Someone that's Tomei during Pesach Rishon gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. 100% true. Why? Because we want to give you the ability to bring a B'Tahira. What happens if Pesach Sheni comes and you're still Tomei Memeila, Talachas Pesach Sheni is going to be Daicho, you'll be able to bring a B'Toma. But the bottom line is, Machloikis, Tanakam, and Rabbi Yehuda, and this Braisa, whether the Pesach Sheni is Daicho Toma, not Daicho Toma, everybody holds it's like a Shabbos in this Braisa. The Shaila is a Daicho Toma, is it not Daicho Toma? There is a Manda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda, that holds Pesach Sheni is Daicho Toma. We are going to say that the Tana that brought the Braisa, Nachnuna Menala, when he asked, and presented Rameir's Kasha on the Tanakhama. Pesach is a Karbin Yochin, it's Teichah Shabbos and Teichah Tumah. He was referring to Pesach Sheni, which is a Karbin Yochin, which is in fact Teichah Shabbos and Teichah Tumah. Just to take out one nugget from this Gemara, what emerges the Maskanas on Gemara is that the Karbin Chagiga was a Karbin Tzibur, that was Mefurish in the Braisa on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and the Karbin Pesach is also a Karbin Tzibur. And even though the Braisa on Daf Nun Amud Aleph said that the Karbin Pesach is a Karbin Yochid, but Lemaskana, it was referring to the Pesach Sheni. The Pesach Rishon was really a Karbin Tzibur. So the Karbin Chagiga and the Karbin Pesach both had a din of a Karbin Tzibur. It's a very interesting idea, because really it's not a traditional Karbin Tzibur. Usually a Karbin Tzibur is one Karbin that's brought for the Tzibur. These were individual Karbanos that were brought by different members of the Tzibur. So why is it called a Karbin Tzibur? So the Gemara in today's daf gave us the answer, and this is an often quoted Gemara. Yuma Nun Aleph Amun Aleph is quoted in Kachem circles and in Machshava circles as well, because the Gemara said the reason is Mishum Da'asi B'Knufya, being that it was brought by many Yidden when the Yidden were together, that gave it the Kayach of a Karban Tzibur. It's a very big Kiddush. Ordinarily, a Karban Tzibur would be one Karban that's being brought on behalf of the Tzibur. These were Be'etzim, a bunch of Yechidim, a bunch of individual Karbanos. But despite the fact that it's a bunch of individual karbanos, the fact that it was brought together, the fact that it was brought beknufya, that's a reason that we view it as a karban tzibur. Just to interrupt the daf for 1 minute, I saw in the Sefer Arvei Nachal, a Dover Nifla, and this is in his Drashas on Parshas Vayigash, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, see, Yecheskel HaNavi was saying prophecy about what the Yidden are going to look like when Mashiach is going to come. He said, Va'atein tzoyni. Tzoyin Marisi, wrong pasuk. This is in Perek Lamid Vav. So the pasuk says that Koyamar Hashem Alekim Oid Zois Idoresh Lebeis Yisrael Lasei Slohem Arba Oisam Katzoyin Adam. That when Mashiach's going to come, I'm going to be Marba. I'm going to multiply the Yidden. They're going to be Katzoyin Adam. Kitzoyin Kadoshim Kitzoyin Yerushalayim B'Moyadeho Kein Tiena Ha'orim. So this is one of the beautiful nevuahs, the nevuahs of the Chama that Yecheskel HaNavi gave. And he said that even though Yecheskel lived during the time of the Churban and everything was terrible and Yidden were a very, very bad matzav, but he said nevuah, he was giving the Yidden chizik. He said there's going to be a day where the Yidden are going to be kitzoin kadashim, like the Karbonos, kitzoin Yerushalayim b'moyadeh. There's going to be a day where Klai Yisrael is going to go back. We're going to be machzeh that Torah liyoshna. Rashi says, what does it mean that Yecheskel said the Yidden are going to be kitzoyin kadoshim? Rashi, shehibol Yerushalayim b'moyadei psachim. The tzoyin, we're referring to the sheep that were the Seir Beis Avos. That was the Karban Pesach. And Yecheskel HaNavi said the Yidden are going to be Kitzoyin Kadoshim. So said the Arvei Nachal, what's this mashal that Yecheskel is comparing the Yidden to the Karban Pesach? He says, because the Karban Pesach were a bunch of individual Karbanos. But at the same time, it had a din of a Karban Tzibur. Because even though they were individual animals, but they were Asi B'Knufya, and they came B'Knufya, Tzizamim, Mitan Achtus, and all these individual animals were viewed as being one big animal, and therefore everyone had a din of a carbon tzibur, as if every single person had a chelik in every person's carbon. Because even though they were individual animals, but they were viewed as one. Said the Arvei Nachal, that what the Navi Yecheskel saying is that when the Yidden are going to come to a place where they're going to be ba'achdos, that even though we're all different, that we all think different, and we all look different, but at the same time, we're going to come to a place where it's going to be ke'ish echad be'elev echad, when we're going to be ketzayin kadoshim, we're going to be, although we're individually, but the asi beknufya, like one, that's when Mashiach's going to come. So it's going to be a nevuah of what the Yidden have to be like in order for the ketzayin kadoshim, ketzayin Yerushalayim b'mayadeh. That's when it's going to be v'yadu kani Hashem. That's ultimately going to bring the good. But that's why Rashi's comparing the Yidden ba'achris hayomim to the tzayin kadoshim, specifically the tzayin Yerushalayim b'mayadeh. He means the carbon pesach because of this inyan that the carbon pesach had. That even though they were individual karbanos, but at the same time asi beknufya, somehow that made them as one. So the Gemara is going to continue on Amud Beis now to discuss yesterday's daf, and that is the Gemara had a lengthy discussion with regards to the par that the Kohen Gadol used to bring on Yom Kippur. That par, what was its halachic status from a kachron perspective? And the Gemara presented three possibilities. It's a carbon yachid, it's a carbon shutfin, it's a carbon tzibur. And really, all three options have merit. It's a carbon yachid, the Kohen Gadol had to pay for it. We're going to see now, the Gemara is going to say it came out of his pocket. Carbon shutfin, because all the kayhanim got kapara from that animal. It's a carbon tzibur, if all the kayhanim got kapara from it, could be all the kayhanim are viewed as a tzibur in the sugis of Hyrius and the sugis of Par Helam Davishal tzibur, and as a result, it would get upgraded to the point that it would be a carbon tzibur. Lamai nafkamina. So the Gemara presented a nafkamina, and that is the par that the Kohen Gadol brought in Yom Kippur. Oysa tmura or ein oysa tmura? A carbon yachid is oysa tmura. A carbon shutvin and a carbon tzibur is ein oysa tmura. And that was the topic of the rather intense Daf Nun on the day. Dr. Gemara, as a postscript to that discussion, I don't understand the Shiloh. We have a Shiloh over here, whether the par that Kohen Gadol brought in Yom Kippur was a carbon yachid, or maybe not a carbon yachid. It was for sure a carbon yachid. V'tepeklei. Why don't we just say simply, the Pasuk says, Ashaloy amarachmana, and Mishaloy humevi. And if it says Ashaloy, it means he has to pay for it. And if he pays for it, then l'chayr, it's his individual carbon yachid. Now the truth is, it says ashaloi regarding the par that the Kohen Gadol brought, not only one time, it says it three times. The Gemara is about to dash in these psukim, but just to read the psukim outside. The hikriv aharin es parachatos asher loy. It's his, he owns it. V'chiper badu v'ad beisai. And then it says, v'hikriv aharin es parachatos asher loy. V'chiper badu v'ad beisai. V'shochet es parachatos asher loy tzendritin mo. So it says asher loy three times, but that's the Gemara's kashin. If it says asher loy, it sounds like it's his. He's the boss. He owns it. So if he owns it, it's for sure a carbon yachid. So Gemara, tiny balloon to the price. Asher loy mishal loy humevi. But let mishal tzibur. He has to pay for it. Yochol loy yovi mishal tzibur shein atzibim mischafer. But I would think that maybe the tzibur doesn't pay for it. Meaning you don't think the machzis hashekel because they don't get kaparin. Avol yovi b'shaloch v'kayanim. But maybe his brothers, the kayanim, they should have to chip in. Shari och v'kayanim mischafer. But because they get kaparin from it. So it makes sense that they should participate in the cause. Tamaloy ma'ashaloy. It says ashaloy a second time. He has to pay for it. Yochaloy yovi then hevi kasher. You would think, okay, fine. So ashaloy the second time teaches me that not the kayhanim, but b'diyevet, if the kayhanim paid for it, it should be kasher. It's ma'akiv. He has to pay for it. Tamaloy ma'ashuv ashaloy. It says it again. Shina akasav la'akiv. Torah made it very clear. Torah chazed it to say that not only does the Kohen Gadol have to pay for it, but it's ma'akiv that the Kohen Gadol pay for it. So the Gemara's cash is, if the Kohen Gadol pays for it, it's asher loy the Torah refers to it as. It sounds like it's a carbon yachid. So what did it start them? It's a carbon yachid, carbon shutfin, carbon tzibur. The Torah said ashaloy, the tape of clay. It's a pasuk in the Torah. That's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, according to you, you agree that the kohanim get kapara. So how do you understand the fact that the kohanim get kapara? Meaning, you maksha, that can't even hear it sound that it's anything other than a carbon yachid. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol's paying for it, beseder. So how do you understand the fact that the kohanim got kapara? We know the kohanim got kapara from this part. It says that in the Torah as well. How did they get kapara? How does Reuven get kapara, which means carbon? There's no such thing. Elo, you have to say shani hacho, because begaza daharin daafkrei rachmana gabi yachav hakayanim. You have to say that even though the Kohen Gadol paid for it, but after the Kohen Gadol paid for it, the Torah, like a hefker bezdin hefker type of idea, gave a little bit of ownership to the Kohanim, so that the Kohanim are going to have a chelik in it. So, no, hacha gabi tmura nami, shani begoz of the iron, after rachmana, gabi yachav ha-Kohanim. Meaning, I understand what you're saying, says the Gemara. You're trying to taina that if the Kohen Gadol paid for it and the Torah calls it ashaloi, so based on that, it should for sure be a carbon yachav. But, and for the Gemara, but at the same time, it's not so simple, because you see the Kohanim had a chelik in it. A Kohanim can never have a chelik in someone else's carbon. Must be the Torah gave the Kohanim a chelik in it, despite the fact they didn't pay for it. Once the Kohanim have a chelik in it, it's okay, now we can clear a different stardom. Does that make it a carbon shutvim? Does that make it a carbon tzibur? Maybe it doesn't. And that was the Ibai in the Gemara. Whether the par Yom Kippur is oisa tmura, ain't oisa tmura. Bottom line is, it's not as simple as saying, oh, the Kohen Gadol paid for it, the Torah says ashaloi. Menela, it's his exhale. So now we're going to turn our attention, and like with all the Gemaras we're learning now, the Mishnah, very briefly, resumes the narrative of the Seida Avoid on Yom Kippur, which we still have to go back and just understand and put all these Mishnayos together. So Yetz Hashem will do that one of these days. But and the Mishnah is, again, going to talk about the Avoid and then immediately digress and get into a whole bunch of different sugyos. So as a hakdama to the next part of the daf, we speak out a lot that there were three primary tkufas of Ashrayis HaShchina that the Yidden had in history. The first was the Mishkan. The second was Bayis Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, and the third one was Bayis Sheni, and then of course Bayis Shlishi, Shetibana B'mheira B'yameinu Amin V'Amin. But in Jewish history, there were three batim of Ashrayis HaShchina: the Mishkan, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Now these three Mikdashim were not created equally. They were very, very different. In fact, they're described in detail in different places in Torah Shebikzav and Torah Shebaalpeh, and they were not the same. Hatzad Ashava Shabahem, Vasuli Mikdash Vishakanti Bizoicha. Hatzad Ashava Shabahem is that it was a place to bring karbanos. It was a place to go to feel an intense manifestation of Ashrayis HaShchina. But in terms of what exactly these physical batim were and different dinim, they were very, very different. The Mishkan is discussed in Parshas Truma, the Tzavik, Yisisa, Vayakob, Akudai. Bayis Rishon, Sefer Melachim, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. Bayis Sheni, that's all the Mishnayos that you find in Shas, Mesachtes Midas, and Tamid, and Yuma. For the most part, it's dealing with Bayis Sheni. One of the differences between the Mishkan and the two Bate Mikdashim was the thing that separated the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when you think of the Mishkan, you think of a chatzer. There was a big courtyard. And within the courtyard, there was an oil mayad. There was a tent. The tent had a covering. So there was the part that was covered by a roof. And then there was the rest of it that was outdoors, that was inside the chatzer. The oil mayad was made up of two parts. It was made up of the heichal, and it was made up of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The heichal was where the Mizbeach was, that the Ketores was brought on. You had the Menorah, you had the Shulchan. The Kodesh HaKadoshim had the Aron. Now, the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal was separated by a Paroiches. These are psukim in the Torah. There was a Paroiches, literally a curtain, that separated the Kodesh, the Heichal, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, the Beis HaMikdash was very similar. Beis HaMikdash had an Azara, not a Chatzah, but it's the same difference. And then you had this big structure, an Ulam, which was the Proizdar, that you walked through to get to the Heichal, but then there was the Heichal, which again had the Mizbeach, had the Menorah, had the Shulchan, Shlomo HaMelech had all his additional Menorahs and all his additional Shulchanas, so there were certainly differences, but at the same time you had the Heichal, and then the Heichal walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, there was also a separation between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the separation was different. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall that separated Bayis Rishon, that separated the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The wall had a door cut out, and instead of there physically being a door, there was a pareiches, there was a curtain. But the curtain wasn't the entire separation. The curtain was only where the door is, where the knisa is. But in terms of what separated the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim during the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall. That wall was known as the Amatraxin. It was known as the Amatraxin because the thickness, the depth of the wall was one am. It was one amma, it was as tall as the Beis HaMikdash was, and that's what separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Amatraxin. And because there was no Amatraxin, we know that for a fact, the Tanoim were a little bit unsure what really separated the Kodesh, the Heichel, and the Kodesh HaKadosh. So again, by the Mishkan, we know it was the Parochus, Pesukim in the Torah. By Yisrishon, these are Pesukim in Sefer Malachim. We know exactly what it was as well. By Yisrishon, we don't have Pesukim anymore. And because we don't have Pesukim, and we know there was no Amitraxin, Rashi brings here in the Sugya a Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Bava Basra that says the reason there was no Amitraxin, meaning why was there no Amitraxin? It's because the second Beis HaMikdash was taller than the first Beis HaMikdash. And being that this wall was so narrow, it was only one Amit thick, to make a wall so tall that's only one Amit thick, they were afraid the wall wasn't going to stand, it may fall, so they decided not to make an Amitraxin. So we know there was no Amitraxin. We don't have a Torah Shabbat Ksav for Bayi Sheni. This is already post-Navur. So we don't really know what to do. So the question is, what exactly existed during Bayi Sheni? And that's going to be the subplot of the rest of the daf. Zok the Mishnah, Hoye Mahalich Behechol. So now the Kohen Gadol is holding the Machta that has coals in his right hand. He's holding the Kaf that has the Torah in his left hand. He's walking in the Heichel, and he's going to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the question is, how did he enter the Kodesh HaKadosh? See, he walked in the Heichel, see, he went to the area that was between the two Peroiches, that were Mavdo, between the Kodesh, that's the Heichel, and the Kodesh HaKadosh, Ubeineim Amo. And the space between these two curtains was one Am. They didn't have two Peroiches. All they had was one. Shenema Vivdila Peroiches Lochem. Pein HaKodesh Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a pasuk. It says by the Mishkan that there was one Peroiches. So if there was one Peroiches, you know there was one Peroiches. In other words, the Mishnah is discussing the Kohen Gadol who's going from the Heichel into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And a machloikis tanum, how you went from the Heichel to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tanakhama says there were two Peroiches. Rabbi Yossi said there was only one Peroiches. How do you know it was one Peroiches? Oh, because by the Mishkan it says there was one Peroiches. Up the Gemara. Shapakam alu Rabbi Yossi the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi has a pasuk that it was only one Peroiches. So how could the Rabbanan say there were two Peroiches? Up the Gemara. No, Rabbanan Amrilcha. The Rabbanan is going to tell you, Hanimi the Mishkan. That was true by the Mishkan. By the Mishkan it was one Peroiches. Ava the Mikdasheni. This is the second base of Mikdash. What does the Mishkan have to do with the second base of Mikdash? They weren't created equally. Kimidle Avoyamitraxin. And not just that. By the second base, HaMikdash, there was no Amitraxin, like we said, because it was going to be too tall. They didn't think it would be able to stand. Ube Mikdash Rishon Hu Dahavoy, and by the first Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't Amitraxin. They stopped Gelu the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan had a suffix, B'Kedushase, regarding the Kedush of that Amo. Ikilafnimi Kilachutz, whether it's Kilafnimi or it's Kilachutz, V'Avet Shtei Peroiches, and it's for that reason they made Shtei Peroiches. So we're going to see a little bit more in tomorrow's daf about what the suffix was. But for our purposes right now, all we need to know is this. During the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall that was an Amo thick that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. That wall didn't exist during Bayi Sheni. And Chachamim had a suffix regarding the space where that Amo once was. They knew where the Amo once was. That space, did it have a din of Kodesh or Kodesh HaKadosh? And they didn't know. So you know what they decided? We're just going to section off that entire area. We don't have a choice. So they put up a Reichus on one side of the Amo. They put another Reichus on the other side of the Amo. Like this, you don't have to worry about the Amo. That's something that they did simply because they had a suffix. So according to the Chachamim, in the Mishkan, there was a Peroiches, one Peroiches that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Bayis Rishon, Psukim in Malachim, there was a wall, an Amathik, that's what separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. Bayis Sheni, they knew that it should be like Bayis Rishon. They couldn't build a wall. As a result, being that they didn't know if that Amo, where the wall once was part of the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadosh, and they just said, let's just block the whole area off. Like this, no one's going to ever go there. Like this, you're never going to run into any halachic issues, whatever they may be, and this is the way it's going to be separate. Rabbi Yossi argued. Rabbi Yossi said, I disagree with that. They didn't have these two Peroiches. They weren't worried about this. Why not? Ayin Tosfos has a whole Arichos. But the point is, Rabbi Yossi wasn't concerned about that. So what did they have? They had one Peroiches. Rabbi Yossi said there was one Peroiches in the Mishkan. It makes sense. There would have been one Peroiches as it relates to Bayis Sheni as well. Zok de Gemara. Me inyan le inyan. Tanu Rabbanu. We learned in a Braisa. So again, referring back to the Mishnah, this is the Kohen Gadol. He's entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Keteris. He's holding the Machta with the Gecholim in his right hand. He's holding the Kaf with the Keteris in his left hand. So how exactly did he go? And this is another example of where the Braisa is just a little more expressive than the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said, Hoye Mahalich Behechel, Ad Shemegila, Vein Shtei Aparei. He just walked through the Heichel. Was there a specific route that he had to take when he was in the Heichel? Was there a lane that he had to stay within when he was walking? Or as long as he gets from point A to point B, it doesn't really matter how he gets there. He could take the long sit. Like, is there a halacha of exactly how this went? So the Gemara now brings a major machlokes tana. Tana Rabbanu, Mina Mizbeach Menorah, Hoye Mahalich Devir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said he would walk between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Rameir said, Bein Shulchan LeMizbeach. He would walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he walked between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Sinner, we know, was on Darim, it was on the east, so he was walking to the eastern part of the Heichal. According to Reb Meir, the Shulchan Mizbech, the Shulchan was on the north, it was in Safin, so he was walking to the northern part of the Heichal. Some say, Bein Shulchan LeKaisel. He didn't walk between the Menorah and the Mizbech, he didn't walk between the Shulchan and the Mizbech, rather he walked between the Shulchan and the Kaisel. So he squeezed between the Shulchan and the Kaisel on the northern side. Zok the Gemara, man Yesh Aymim, who is this Yesh Aymim? Some say, who is Yesh Aymim? Amar Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said Rav Yossi. It's Rav Yossi. The Amar who said, Pischa B'tzafen Kai, that the entrance to the Pareichnis was B'tzafen. Now this Rav Yossi, Rashi says, is Rav Yossi of our Mishnah, who said there was only one Pareichnis that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there weren't two doors, so to speak, that you had to get through to go from the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was only one. There was only one. There was one Pareichnis. There was an entrance through the Pareichnis. That's how you got it. That entrance was in Tzafen. Now, this is important. Everybody agrees that that entrance was in Tzafen. Everybody agrees that the Pareichnis that ultimately got you into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on Tzafen. Okay. The Chachamim, however, in the Mishnah that hold that there wasn't one Pareichnis, but rather there were two Pareichnis, they hold that the entrance into the area between the two Pareichas was not on Tzafen, but rather it was Darim. So if you're going from the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if there's one Pareichas, so there's only one Pareichas. That's the entrance that gets you into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Pareichas was B'Tzafen. If you hold that there were two Pareichas, the two Pareichas didn't align. The entranceways didn't align. The entranceway through Pareichas A was in Darim. Then you would have to walk across the width of the Heichal, get to entrance that's associated with Pareichas B that gets you into the Kodesh HaKadosh, which everybody agrees was B'tzafen. So the Gemara says like this, the Yesh Haimim that says that the way he walked was, he would walk along the northern side of the Heichal. It's going Galib de Reb Yossi, who holds there was only one Pareichas. If there was one Pareichas, so how are you going to go from the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKadosh? You're not going through Darim, walking across the Tzafen, then getting into the Kodesh HaKadosh. There's only one Pareichas, and that one takes you into the Kodesh HaKadosh, which means that it's in Tzafen. So you're going to be walking through Tzafen. So that's why he was over there. So you want to know who the Yesh Haimim is. Rav Chizda said it's Rav Yossi that holds Pischa B'Tzafen Kai. Where do you have Rav Yossi that holds Pischa B'Tzafen Kai? Rav Yossi in our mission that says there was one Pareichas. Because everybody holds that the entrance into the Kodesh HaKadosh was Tzafen. So if there was one Pareichas, obviously, back of the envelope arithmetic, the entrance from the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKadosh must have been in Tzafen. Okay, so now we have to understand Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir's shita respectively. What did Rabbi Yehuda hold? He walked between the Menorah and the Mizbech. What did Rabbi Meir hold? He walked between the Shulchan and the Mizbech. Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda who said that he walked between the Menorah and the Mizbeach, why is he walking on the Darim side if the entrance is on the Tzafin side? Amalachai is going to tell you very simple. Pischa B'Darim Kai. He holds the Pesach was in Darim. What does it mean, Pischa B'Darim Kai? He holds like the Chachamim in the Mishnah, that there were really not one Pareichas, but two. They weren't aligned, the two Psachim, which means the entrance way from the Heichal into the first Pareichas was on Darim. Oh, so you're going to be on the Darim side. So why would you walk Tzafin if you have to get Darim? So you walk through the area that's between the Menorah and the Mizbech, that's the more reasonable way for you to walk. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a second, why don't you just walk along the Darim wall? If Rabbi Yosef holds, being that the Pesach was B'Tzafen, you walk along the Tzafen wall. So if Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Pesach is B'Darim, walk along the Darim wall, the Gemara is going to ask that. But first, the Gemara discusses Rav Meir's shita. What does Rav Meir hold? Rav Meir holds that you walk between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, which means you're walking towards the north. Faith, you want Rav Meir, come on, Sfil. Who does he hold? Like, Ikram Rav Yehuda, Sfil. If he holds like Rav Yehuda, Neil Rav Yehuda, she walked like Rav Yehuda, Ikram Rav Yossi, Sfil. And if he holds like Rav Yossi, Neil Rav Yossi, she holds like Rav Yossi. Meaning, if he holds, there were two Pareichas, and that means that the Pesach from the Heichal into the Kodesh HaKadosh, first you have to go through Darim, he should be walking by the Menorah. Why are you walking to the north? Doesn't make sense. And if he holds like Rav Yossi, there's one Pesach B'Tzafen. Rav Yossi said you walked along the northern wall. So why don't you walk along the northern wall? So the Gemara says two terus. That's partially holds like Rav Yossi. Rav Meir must have held that there was only one Pareichas. One Pareichas, the entrance then is in Tzafen, that's why you're walking Tzafen. You want to know why you're not walking along the wall? Shulchan is Tzafen V'darim Menachem. Because we know, long Rashi over here, that Shlomo HaMelech, in addition to the one Menorah and the one Shulchan, he made another 10 Menorahs and another 10 Shulchanas. We also know, we learned this in Yerushalmi Shkalim, Rashi quotes it as a Bavli and Menachis, but there's a machlokes of exactly how they were lined up. According to one man, Amar, they were lined up wall to wall, from Darim to Tzafen, which would then mean that it was impossible to walk between the shulchan and the wall, because there was another shulchan there. The 10 shulchanas of Shlomo HaMelech were lined up that way. I am the long Rashi for Chazara of exactly how this worked. But the point is, it'd be impossible to walk there. There was a shulchan there. That's why, meaning you want to be in the north because that's the way you're getting into the Kodesh HaKadosh. The question is, if you want to be in the north, be to the far north. There's a shulchan there. It's impossible for you to walk. Maybe you could say, maybe it has nothing to do with the fact that there were shulchanos there, because maybe the shulchanos were lined up east to west, not north-south, which means it wouldn't get in your way if you're walking there. But at the same time, could be it's not befitting, it's not bakovedic for a person, because if you were walking by the northern wall, you were actually able to see in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's not so bakovedic to be walking with a clear view of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's more bakovedic to go batznei aleches, walk on the side, and then when you're ready to walk in, you'll make a little turn, and then you'll walk in. Rabbi Yossi, why does Rabbi Yossi hold not that way? Rabbi Yossi is not worried about the fact that maybe it's not befitting to be looking literally at the Shekhinah as you're walking in. Amar lecha, Rabbi Yossi is going to tell you, Chaviv in Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael are so beloved, Shloi Hitzrichan HaKosav L'Shliach. You find that a Yid has an ability to daven, and he doesn't need a Shliach. Which means that we're so beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we could daven, you know what? We can walk this way. This is something that we have the right to do, and it's for that reason Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm not impressed. Zok de Gemara, now going back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that there were two paroiches, which means the entranceway was really in Darim, and that's why he walked between the Menorah and the Mizbeach. Why do you walk between the Menorah and the Mizbeach? The entranceway was probably next to the wall, so just walk along the Darim wall. Why are you between the Menorah and the Mizbeach? Neil be Menorah lekaisel. So the Gemara says, Meshachri Mani, because he was afraid that he may get dirty and black from the smoke and the fire that's coming out from the menorah. So again, it was a practical thing. He's wearing his night white clothing, walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's going to be meshachre money. His clothing is going to get black, and that's why he didn't do it that way. So again, we're going to pick this up in tomorrow's daf, but for now, we had machlokes regarding the exact specifics of what was mavdol between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim during Bayis Sheni. In the Mishkan, it was a Paroiches. Bayis Rishon, it was an Amatraxin. What about Bayis Sheni? Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said there were two Paroiches that sectioned off that what the Amatraxin once was. There was a Paroiches on one end, there was a Paroiches on the other end. The Paroiches on the one hand's entrance was in Darim, the one on the other end was in Tzafin. That's where you got into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. According to Rabbi Yossi, just like there was one Paroiches by the Mishkan, there was also one Paroiches during Bayis Sheni. Additionally, we had a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi in terms of the route that the Kohen Gadol took when he walked through the Heichal to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he was walking Darim. He walked between the Menorah and the Mizbeach. If you're walking Darim, walk to the far Darim, you're getting too close to the Menorah. But he would walk between the Darim and between the Menorah and the Mizbeach. Why is he walking Darim? Because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there were two Paroiches. If there were two Paroiches, the entranceway into the first Paroiches was in Darim, so it makes sense he should be walking Darim. Reb Meir is the second Shita. He said he didn't walk between the Menorah and the Mizbeach, he walked between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. It's because he holds like Reb Yossi that there was only one entranceway. If there's one entranceway, it was for sure in Tzafin. So therefore, you're walking towards the Shulchan, you're walking Tzafin. I just walk all the way against the wall. Gemara said two reasons. Either because it was blocked off by all the other Shulchanas that Shlomo HaMelech made, or it's because Lavai Rechara, that doesn't pass to be walking and facing the opening to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What Reb Yossi holds? He's the third sheet. He's the Yesh Omrim that's quoted in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi said he did walk along the northern wall. Obviously, this is Rabbi Yossi who holds that there was only one Paroiches, which means that the entranceway was in Tzafin, and he obviously held that it was possible to walk there, meaning it wasn't blocked off by Shulchanas, and it was okay to walk there, because Chaviv in Yisrael, Shloi Yitzrich and HaKosov L'Shliach, and if that's the case, it's going to be perfectly okay for a Yid to walk in that direction. Exhale. So just two ha'aris as it relates to the raid of the last 2 days. So yesterday we mentioned a Noid of Yehuda, the second Noid of Yehuda on the topic, and that's in Shailas Hetshuvas Orech Chaim Siman Yud, where the Noid of Yehuda was asked that why is it before we say Pita Maktiris every day, we preface it with the tefillah of Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadeinenu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshiyenu. Asher l'chura, it has no shaychus to Ktiris. K'tayrus is unashalma parim svaseinu. It's our way in galus of bringing the K'tayrus. It's our lulei sayrascha shashuay azavadi tibani, like the Marshal says in Tainus Chav Zayinu Medbeis, like we mentioned yesterday. What does it have to do with enka leikenu, enka deinenu? So we mentioned that the Noid of Yehuda said that the reason is because the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Chavav and Aleph that the K'tayrus was a skula for Ashiras, which means that if a person's going to recite the parish of K'tayrus, it's a skula for him to come lidei Ashiras. If a person becomes an Oysher, he's at risk of thinking koichi va'oitzim yadi, so before he recites the parasha of K'tayrus, he needs a little bit of musar. He needs a little bit of chizuk. He says, enka leikenu, enka deinenu, enka malkenu, enka moishenu, micha leikenu. He reminds himself, ein oid milvadei. So like this, if the skula plays out for him, he won't come to the michshol of thinking that it was koichi va'oitzim yadi, also liyasachai lazeh. I saw in the Sefer, Shailas Tshuva Zecher Yehosef. So the Zecher Yehosef was a goyin, Rabbi Yosef Zacharias Stern. He was a 19th century Litvish gadol. He was the rav in the city of Shavel. So Shavel was an ir ve'en b'Yisrael in Litva. And Rabbi Yosef Zacharias Stern was a goyin oilam. He wrote many, many tshuvas. Shailas Tshuva Zecher Yehosef, with a lot of bekiyos and a lot of charifos, hafachba v'hafachba. In Erechaim Sinan Peiches, this is Sifkot and Breiz. He brings the tshuva from the Noid of Yehuda. That the Noid of Yehuda was asked, why do you say Enka Likenu before Pitom Akteres? And he brings the pshat that the Noid of Yehuda said. But he says, I want to suggest another pshat. But before that other pshat of the Zecher Yehosef, we need a tiny bit of an introduction, read that we've spoken about in the past, but ve'im beis medrash v'loy chiddush. In Parshas Korach, the pasuk says that after the whole story of Korach played out, so that das Korach, it was swallowed up in the ground, dasa navira, the bnei Korach, etc., etc. Immediately afterwards, vayiloinu kol adas bnei Yisrael mimacharas al Moshe v'laharon lema. All the yidin, kol adas bnei Yisrael came to Moshe v'laharon saying, atem hamitem es am Hashem. They were very upset about what happened. Meaning you would think the dust settled, literally, and everybody would be okay. Let's return now to regular life. But the yidin actually came with tainus. This is one of the times that the Torah says vayiloinu in the midbar. And this is kol adas bnei Yisrael. And they said, atem hamitem es am Hashem. You caused so many Jews to die. The pasuk says, vayihi bihi kohel ha'edo al Moshe v'al Aharon vayifnu al oyo moyed vehine kiso ha'ona vayerik v'ayid Hashem. As the Yidden are coming, complaining to Moshe and Aharon, the Onan covered the oyo moyed, which meant that it was time for Moshe and Aharon to enter the oyo moyed, because the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was ready to communicate with Moshe and Aharon. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lehem. Hashem speaks to Moshe. He says, hey, roimim mitoicho eda azayis. I want you to leave this eda. I'm done. This is it. V'achal o'isim koraga, and I'm going to wipe out the entire Jewish nation. After everything that just happened, after the story of Adas Korach, atem hamitem esam Hashem, they still don't recognize that this is what had to be done. They have tainas on Moshe and Aharon, atem hamitem esam Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, zehu. Achal o'isim koraga, and the pasuk says, v'yupla al p'nei Moshe and Aharon, like they did every single time there was any kitrig on Klal Yisrael. They went to bat. V'yupla al p'nei, v'yomim Moshe l'Aharon. So Moshe turned to Aharon and realized this is going to be a little bit trickier. So he said, kaches amachta, listen to me, take a machta, take a shovel, v'sein oleo ish me'al ha'mizbeach, and go take fire from the mizbeach. V'sim k'tayris, put k'tayris on it, v'hoylech mehera elo edo, and quickly run to where all the yidin are, v'chaper aleim, be machta the k'tayris, and that's going to be a kapara. Ki yotza ha-ketzef milifnei Hashem, heichel ha-nogef. And the reason is because there's a ketzef milifnei Hashem, there's a magefa taking place right now. I don't like the way this sounds. V'achala oisem koraga. This is what you have to do. V'yikah ha-haren kashadibar Moshe. So Aharon did exactly what Moshe told him. V'yoretz ha-toich ha-kol. And he ran to the kol. V'hinei heichel ha-negef bam. And in fact, exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu told Aharon he was going to find, he found there were people lying on the ground. They were posh dying. V'yiten es ha-ketores. He brought the ketores v'yichaper alo'am. And the yidin got a kapara. Vayamoid ben ha-mesim u-ben ha-chayim. And Aharon stood between the mesim and the chayim. Picture the scene. Vapi otzar ha-magefa. And the magefa ended. Vayiu ha-mesim ha-magefa. The pasuk says, how many people died in this magefa? A lot. Arba osar elef u-shma ha-meyos. 14,700, and this was Milvad HaMesim Alvar Korach. So this was coming literally on the heels of Korach, and right after Korach, there was a magefa, and vayahi ha-mesim ha-magefa arba asar elef ushma Vayoshev Aharon al Moshe, al Pesach oyom moed, Aharon returned to Moshe, v'amagefa netzara. And the magefa was over. Rashi and Chumash says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know what to do? There's no mention anywhere in the Pasuk that Hashem told Moshe that go, bring Keteris, stand between the Mesim and the Chaim, and you're going to see everything is going to go away. Just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, v'achalo oisem kerug, I was over. V'ayipo al pneim, it doesn't seem to have worked. Moshe Rabbeinu had a trick. He knew some secret that there is a way to stop a magefa. He calls Aharon, kachas hamachta, put fire on it, take it from the Mizbech. Literally Keteris, like the sugyas we're learning right now. V'sim Keteris, v'hoylech meher, and sure enough, magefa netzara, and it worked. So, mi gilo le Moshe Rabbeinu roze. Zok tehelege Rashi, and it's a Gemara Mesech de Shabbos, daf peites amir aleph. Roze mosa le malach hamoves kisha'ol le rakia. This secret was whispered into the ear of Moshe Rabbeinu by none other than the Malach HaMavis. Now, he's in the business of doing this. This is what he knows. This is his fach. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu that if there's ever going to be a magefa, this is what you should do. Shach toires oitzera magefa. Kidi'isa b'mesach d'shabes. There's an idea that toires is oitzera magefa. So what's this mesach d'shabes? The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to him and kabbal the toires, the Malachim put up a big fight. They didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to take the toire. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, what should I do? So he said, achoyz b'kisei kvoidi v'nei lahem tshuva. Rabbi Lazar Fleckless is hespin on the night of Yehuda. Today's Rabbi Lazar Fleckless is yartzai. Rabbi Lazar Fleckless's epic hespin that he gave on the night of Yehuda. Tell them that a yid has an ability to do tshuva. We're the ones that get the Torah. But either way, after the whole exchange, finally the Malachim were masking. And they said, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu, it's fine. You can get the Torah. Not only were they masking, they even gave him matanas. So to Gemara, even the Malach HaMavis gave him a matana. What was the matana? The Keteris. This Matana writer, he told them this is a secret that you can have. That if there's ever a situation where there's a charoy naf, if there's ever a situation where there's a magefa, so I'm letting you know, this is something you can do. The Hilge Chsam Sofer, in Parshas V'zoy Sabracha, on the pasuk that we've been talking a lot about these last few days, Yosimu Ketoyre Be'apecha. So what does it mean, Be'apecha? So the Targum says, Targum Unkelis, Be'apecha means Yosimu Ketoyre Be'apecha, Miloshin Lefonov. Yishvun Keteris Busmin Kodomach. Kodomach means in Lefanov. Yosimu Keteris Be'apecha. The Levian, they bring the Keteris, and they bring the Keteris Lefanov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says the Chsam Sofer V'yesh Lefarish Oid that Be'apecha is Miloshin Af V'roiges. It's a Loshin of Charoy Naf. Kid'isne B'tehillim Kuma Hashem Be'apecha V'yodu, says the Chsam Sofer, the Keteris Mesa Charoy Naf Mi'Yisro. The Keteris has an ability to be Mesa Charoy Naf Mi'Yisro. Kid'isne B'parashas Koyrach Shaharin Hikruv Keteris V'aydei Zeh Netra Magefo V'zeu Yosimu Keteris Be'apecha B'shas Af Mesimin Keteris. And that brings Kapara. The emes is what the Chsam Sofer says is also Mefurish, and the Chsam Sofer's Rebbe, the Hafla, in Panim Yafis, a lot of parallels, but in the Panim Yafis he says the same taish, Yosimu Keteris Be'apecha is Miloshin Charoy Naf, based on Rashi and Chumash, based on the Gemara, in Mesech Teshabbos, Daf Pei Tesam and Aleph. So said the Goyin from Shavu, Rabbi Yosef, Zechariah Stern, the Zecha Yosef, is Yesh Loimar. Before we say Pita Makteres, you know what we're makdim? We say Enka Loikeinu, Enka Deinenu. Because there's a certain godless that you see. There's a certain Mika Loikeinu, Noida Loikeinu, Baruch, that you see when you bring the Keteris. Because the Keteris has such a power. V'yitochen, Sheroi Laskirei Achsho, Shebezehi Kiru Eloikusoi. There's a certain elokus that comes out with the Keteris. The Keteris has such a power. There was a magefa going on. And Aharon stood bein Amesan and Achaim. He brought the Keteris, and then all of a sudden, v'ha magefa netzara. So there's such an incredible power that you see in magefa, that in Keteris, that before we say the parasha of Pita Makteres, we preface it by saying Enka Leikeinu, Enka Deinenu. So the Noi de Yehuda said it's because of the Ashirus of the Keteres. But Rabbi Yosef Zechariah Shteren, the Gaivid from Shavuot, said it's based on the fact that Keteres has an ability to take away Charoy Naf. And there's something very big about that. And that's why before we say the Keteris, we acknowledge the koyach that the Keteris has. And there's an enkele kenu that you see in Keteris. And that's why before the parish of Keteris, every single year it says enkele kenu, enkadenenu. Because there's a majesty in the Keteris that you see that you don't really see in any other place. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky Shlita shared with me a beautiful ha'ara. Me inyan le inyan, very much ma'oise inyan. That is, There's a well-known halach in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber is in Siman Shin Sadik Dalet. It's in Hilchas Avelos. It's Sif Katan Dalet. Quote, Kol Shloisha Yomim, a person that Lo Yolenu is sitting Shiva, he's in an Avelos. So the first 3 days that an Ovel sitting Shiva, Yireh HaOvel, the Ovel should view himself, Kilu Cherev Munachas Loi Ben Ksefav, as if there's a sword that's between his shoulders. Mishloishavat Shiva, from day 3 until 7, Kilu Zakuf Kenegdei Bekeren Zavas. He should view himself not as if it's literally between his shoulders, but it's Zakuf Kenegdei. It's standing towards him. It's in the corner. Mishivavat Shloishim, from the Shiva until Shloishim, Kilu Averes Lefana Bashok. It's as if it's passing him in the street. V'chal Oysa Shana, and the entire year he should have a feeling of Hadin Matuach Kenegad Oysa Mishpacha, as if on some level the Mishpacha has a little bit of din. Says the Mechaber, stating that the Noilat Ben Zachar ba'Oisa Mishpacha, if this family has a Ben Zachar, Nisrap Bekol HaMishpacha, the entire family is going to get a refuah. The Makar to this Halach and Shulchan Aruch is a Yerushalmi, it's a Marikot and a Perek Ve'elu Magalchen. And the gist of it is that after a person loses a loved one, he's sitting Shiva, so on some level there's a Midas Adin that he should feel is Negeya to his Mishpacha. First 3 days, 7 days, Shloishim, the Shana, whatever this means. But on some level, he should have that hergish. But there's an easy way out. V'noilat ben zachar ba'isa mishpacha, nisrapis kol ha-mishpacha. And the question is, what does noilat ben zachar have to do with nisrapis kol ha-mishpacha? And even better, why only a ben zachar? And what's wrong with a bas tchila, that simen yafei lebana? A bas doesn't have that same kayach. So davka noilat ben zachar nisrapis kol ha-mishpacha. So Rav Kamenetsky stelt to a marshal. This is in Shailas Achuvas Marshal. It's Simen Ayin. So the marshal was asked the following question. There was someone that had to make a bris milah. He had a child that he was going to be machnas lebrisa shel Avram Avinu be'itayeh b'zman. And then Rachmana Litzlan, his mother, passed away. And the question was, he just became an oinim because he lost his mother. So should he do the bris milah anyways and then afterwards bury his mother and be mekayim the mitzvah of kfur? Or maybe no. Maybe being that he's an oinin right now, the right thing to do is for him to bury his mother, and afterwards we'll push off the bris milah a little bit. That's when he's going to do the bris milah. So said the marshal, at first glance you would think it's pashet that he shouldn't do the bris milah. And even though bris milah is rizim akdim l'mitzvahs, v'yashkim avron baboiker, it's something that has to be done bismanoi, but at the same time, said the marshal, an oinen we know is patam in mitzvahs. So if an oinen is patam in mitzvahs, right now he technically doesn't have a mitzvah bris milah. So this is the father of the child. He has a mitzvah of milah, but now when he's an oinen is patam in mitzvahs. He doesn't put on tefillin. He's patam in mitzvahs. So if he's patam in mitzvahs, the chayri doesn't have the mitzvah of milah. So if he doesn't have the mitzvah of milah, based on that, in svara, you would think he shouldn't go ahead and do it. So said the marshal, my first reaction when I heard the shaila was, is that he should bury his mother and he should not do the mitzvah. He should not do the mitzvah of milah. But at the end of the tshuva, says the marshal, I want to say a svara, not that way. That is, why is it that an oinein is patam in mitzvahs? The reason he's patam in mitzvahs, it's mavur, it's mishum kovet hames. The reason is because he has an obligation now to give proper kovet to the mace. It's a very, very big deal. It's such a big deal that he's patam from mitzvahs, even from mitzvahs deraisa. It's because of kovet hames. We want him to be mechabed emes. See, he says, the Yerushalmi says, that after a person loses a relative, on some level, there's a midas hadin. Of noilat ben zachar, nisrap b'kol ha-mishpacha. Says the Marshal, quote, v'hachnasasai lebris, hi leidasai. What's the definition of noilat? It's the bris milah. Hachnasasai lebris, hi leidasai. So if that's the case, doing bris milah is kavod emes. Because the mace somehow is bringing a midas adin. But right now you have an ability to do a bris milah. The bris milah is going to take away the midas adin. So it's a tremendous covet for the mace to go ahead and remove the midas adin that came about. So he says, it's pashut to him, that even though there's a cheshman that he's patam in mitzvahs, maybe he shouldn't do it. But at the same time, there's an idea of covet a mace. And this is good for covet a mace. And the whole reason I'm just patam in mitzvahs is because of covet a mace. Here the covet a mace is not to not do the mitzvah. Here the covet a mace is to do the mitzvah. The point is, the mashal was megala to us that this idea of noilad ben zachar ba'isa mishpacha nisrap is kol ha-mishpacha, it means bris milah. That explains why it's only true for a boy and not for a girl. But again, what's the pshat? Why does bris milah have the ability to heal the mishpacha? So Rabbi Kamenetsky said, Haflo v'fela. Yesh loymar, it's the Ramah that we spoke about in Simen Reish Samecheh, where the Ramah quotes the Marilu quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, the topic of the raid the last 2 days, who said that when someone does bris milah, it's hareyu kemak diktairis. Whether it's only the sandik, like it's mashma from the achroinim, or maybe even the mayo, like the Chassam Sofer said. But regardless, there's an idea that when there's a bris milah, it's kemak diktairis. Ktairis is yosimu ketaira ba'pecha, like the Chassam Sofer and the Afla Taich. What does apecha mean? Miloshen charenav. Like you find that the magefon that sorrow. So there's a midas adin. You know what takes it away? Ketairis. Ketairis has that kayach. That's the koyach of Ketairis. So it's noilat ben is the oisam mishpacha and esrap is kol mishpacha, because noilat, like the marshal, means brismila. Brismila is the koyach of Ketairis. And if it's the koyach of Ketairis, that's maybe why it is that esrap is kol mishpacha. That's the first aura. The second aura, just to end on a light / deep note, and that is a halig chsam sofer in Teres Moshe and Parshas Beshalach. So this is me'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan. We've been talking about the Keteres, which is a school of a Parnasa. It's a school of Ashiras. Also learning Masach Tzuma. Yeah, the sugyas of Yom Kippur. So this is me'inyan le'inyan to a lot of raid that we've been talking about. The pasuk in the parsha of the Mon describes the Mon as a zera, was a seed that was a god lovan. It was a god loving, Gimel Dalet Lavan, which is white. The Mechilta in Parashas Beshalach says, why was it called God Lavan? Because who higid al atzmoi, she'ena yored lo'i b'shabas v'lo'i b'yom kippurim. Because it testified on itself, it was magid, that it didn't fall on Shabbos, and it didn't fall on Yom Kippur. Incidentally, it's mashma a little bit from the Mechilta that the man did fall on Yontif. There's a whole discussion. If the man fell on Yontif or if it didn't fall on Yontif. It's certainly mashma that it fell on Yontif. But the point is, it didn't fall on Shabbos, it didn't fall on Yom Kippur. And because it didn't fall on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, so that's the idea that it's Miloshin God, because it was Higad al Atzmi. So he says, I am Mashakos of Moiri Doidi. I meant to look it up, but I think the Meiri Doidi that he's referring to is Rav Wolf Eger, who was Rav Kiv Eger's brother, who was a Shtickle Rebbe of his. Maybe not, I'm not sure. But regardless, Rabbunim Eger. But regardless, he says, I ain't sure what he said in terms of Pshat in this Mechilta. But he says, well, if he is Daiti, I want to say Pshat like this. He said, God, the word God, is Gimel Dalet. It's an easy gematria. It's seven. Seven is Shabbos. Seven Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. But he says, the truth is seven is also a remez of Yom Kippur. Why? He says, because the Marsha says in the very beginning of Masechtas Yuma, this is the first Marsha in Chedushei Agadas, Masechtas Yuma, that Beis Amin Aleph, Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim, Mafrishin Koin Gadol Mi Beisoy, L'lishkas Parheder. Says the Marsha, the number seven you'll find associated a lot with Yuma, with Yom Kippur. And he says, the reason is because Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos Shabbosin. Right? Shabbos is known as Shabbos. Every Yontif is referred to as Shabbosin. Rav Ashi in Shas holds that an Aseh is not Doicha Lois Aseh of Yontif, because in Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh Vaseh, because Yontif has the Aseh of Shabbosin. So Shabbos is called Shabbos, Yontif is called Shabbosin. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosin. He says the reason it's called Shabbos Shabbosin is because there are seven Yomim Tovim. You have 2 days of Sukkot, you have 2 days of Pesach, you have Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Said the Marsha, the 7 days of Yontif correspond to the 7 days of the week. Yom Kippur is the Shabbos of the Yom Tovim. So just like there's a Shabbos in the Yemei Achoil, there's a Shabbos of the Yemei Shabbosin. The Shabbos of the Yemei Shabbosin is Yom Kippur. So this is a Marsha. He says that's why Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosin, because it's the Shabbos of the Yemei Shabbosin. So it comes out that Shabbos is Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is also a very much a bechina of Shabbos. So God Lavan, which is seven, is a remez to Shabbos, which is the seventh day of the week. It's also a remez to Yom Kippur, which is the seventh day of the week of the Yemei Shabbosin. He says, besides, Gimel Dalet is Rosh HaTevis Gemardin, which is also Yom Kippur. But regardless, that's what the Chassam Sofer says. But then he says, I'm going to be megalot to you a little bit of Panimia Satayr. He says, this Marsha opens up a door for us to be able to have a peek, a little bit, of the other side. And that is, the Marsha was megalitas, that just like the 7 days of the week, there's also 7 days of Yom Tov, meaning the 7 days of Chol, the 7 days of Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of Chol. Yom Kippur is Shabbos, Shabbos, it's the seventh day of Shabbos. It's mistaber that every day of the Yemei Shabbos corresponds to one of the Yemei Chol. Meaning, there's one day of Yontif that corresponds to Sunday. There's a day of Yontif that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Now, what corresponds to what? Says the Chassam Sofer, the Marshal gave us a little bit of a remez. He told us that Yom Kippur is Shabbos. So he says, if Yom Kippur is Shabbos, we can work backwards. That would mean that what's the Yontif that comes immediately before Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is going to be Friday. What's the Yontif that comes before Rosh Hashanah? Just work backwards, it's Shavuos. That's going to be Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday are going to be Pesach. Sunday and Monday are going to be Sukkot. In other words, if you're going in order, it's Sunday and Monday are the 2 days of Sukkot, or Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. Tuesday and Wednesday are the 2 days of Pesach. Thursday is Shavuos. Friday is Rosh Hashanah. And Yom Kippur is Shabbos, Shabbos. That's Kineged Shabbos. That's Pashat. Says the Chassam Sofer, with this you could understand some things that we know about Yontif that we've taken for granted on a little bit of a deeper level. Pnimiyas HaTorah. Sukkot is referred to in the Torah as Yom HaRishon. Ulakachtem lochem b'yom HaRishon. And everybody struggles. Yom HaRishon, it's not Yom HaRishon. Why is it Ulakachtem lochem b'yom HaRishon? This is on a deeper level. Because there's a connection between Sukkot and HaYom Yom HaRishon l'Shabbos. And that was Nisgala b'Remizo when the Torah referred to it as Ulakachtem lochem b'yom HaRishon. A little deeper. Chazal say that Sukkot is Rishon L'Chesh Ben Avoinis. Oh, makes perfect sense. Because Shabbos was Yom Kippur. So the next day is Rishon L'Chesh Ben Avoinis. It's not 5 days later. That's the cash of the Medrash. What happened with those 4 days? No, it's Mamish the next day. It went from Shabbos to Sunday. That's why on a deeper level, it's Mamish Yom Rishon, Rishon L'Chesh Ben Avoinis. Monday is Keneged, the second day of Sukkot, which is Shemini Atzeres. In Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day Sukkot. So what's the second day? It's Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is also Simchas Torah. There's another day that we celebrate the Torah, and that's Shavuos. Shavuos, we said, corresponds to Thursday. Sunday and Monday are the 2 days Sukkot. Tuesday and Wednesday are the 2 days of Pesach, Thursday Shavuos. Monday and Thursday are Simchas Torah and Zman Matan Teresena, respectively, Remez L'David. That's why we take out the Sefer Torah. When do we do it? We do it 2 days a week. We do it on Monday and Thursday because on the Pnimius level, these 2 days have a Sheiches, this man, Mat, and Torah. It's not a coincidence, those are the 2 days. That's understanding it on a deeper level. Friday, we'll skip Tuesday and Wednesday for a second, is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. Why is Rosh Hashanah the Yom Hadin? Because Petishrei Nivra Olam, but really it was B'chafei Elul, says Niran HaMasechtas Rosh Hashanah. But Adma Krishan was created on the sixth day. The sixth day, which was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the day that he was born, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. That day he was judged, he was thrown out of Gan Eden, and it's for that reason that that's the Yom Hadin. So the Yom Hadin of Rosh Hashanah is because that's the day Adma Krishan was born. When was he born? He was born on Friday, Erev Shabbos Chodesh. That's why Erev Shabbos is on Friday. So which 2 days are we missing? We're missing Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, Yom Gimel and Yom Dalet, they correspond to the 2 days of Pesach. He says, what's the connection to that? Says the Heilige Chassam Sofer, because it's Mevur in the Sfarim HaKdoshim. And the Makar to this, they bring in the Magia, the new Tiras Moshe, is from Reb Chaim Vital. The Reb Chaim Vital said that if a person is Isaac in Parnasa, the 2 days that are the most Mesugal for Parnasa are Tuesday and Wednesday. That's where Reb Chaim Vital was Megal, presumably from the Arizal. He said, by the way, after Chatzos, after First Seder. But he said, Tuesday and Wednesday, those are the 2 days that are the most Mesugah for Parnassah. So he says it's Gevaldik. Because what happened on Pesach? Kriyas Yamsuf. That was the ultimate. That was when it was Rosh Hashivcha Bayom, Mashalei Ro Yecheskel Bambuzi Miyolam. Chazal say that Koshem is Oinoisov Shal Adam to Kriyas Yamsuf. But these 2 days, there was Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's why on these 2 days, it's Mesugah for Parnassah. So said the Chassam Sofer, Sunday is Keneged, the first day of Sukkot. That's why it's Ulakachtam Lecham B'Yom Rishon. That's why it's Rishon L'Chesh Ben Avoinis, because it comes after Yom Kippur. Monday is Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is Simchas Torah. We take out the Sefer Torah on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday are the 2 days of Pesach. That's Kriyas Yamsuf. That's why those are the days that are Mesugah for Parnassah, because Koshem is Anoisa Shalodim Kriyas Yamsuf. But on Tuesday and Wednesday, there was Kriyas Yamsuf. This is a good day, because the Kriyas Yamsuf happened
on Tuesday and Wednesday on a Pnimius Tegel level. Thursday is Shavuos. That's also Zman Matan Teiraseinu. That's why Vayhim Tzayar and Sushan Meshechen Uvenucha Yoyimar. That's why we do it again on Thursday. Friday is Rosh Hashanah. That's because Adam Arishan was created on Friday. That's when he was judged. That's why Rosh Hashanah is Baal of Tishrei. That's why it's on Friday. And Shabbos, Yom Kippur, is Shabbos Shabbosin. And he says that if it's Shabbos Shabbosin, it's the Shabbos of Shabbos. Shabbos we know is Me'ein Olam Haba. That's when Yom Kippur is. It's mamish me'ein olam haba. Im v'loy achila v'loy shtia v'loy tashmish. That's the idea of Yom Kippur, being mamish me'ein olam haba. Because it's the closest day you're ever going to get to olam haba in this world. Because Yom Kippur is mamish the Shabbos Shabbosin. So it says the Chassam Sofer, it's merumas in the parasha of the man. The man was God love on. The parasha of the man, which is so associated with Parnasa, was God love on. God love on is Gimel Dalet. That's a remes to Tuesday and Wednesday, which the Svarim HaKadoshim say are days that are Masuga for Parnasa, because those are the days on the Pnimius or Inyan that have a Shaychis to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kashem is Oinoisev Shol Adam ki Kriyas Yamsuf. And based on that, these days, this Oiris of Kriyas Yamsuf in the world, Nisim happened on Tuesday and Wednesday. We know Tuesday, Yom Shehuchpo by Kitayf, but it's not just Tuesday, it's also Wednesday. And specifically regarding Nisim that have a Shaychis to Kriyas Yamsuf, maybe Shaduchim also. Kasha Lazavkon ki Kriyas Yamsuf. But either way, it's a Zman that's Mesugal for Kriyas Yamsuf. As a result, it's a Zman that's Mesugal for Parnas.